You're listening to the Geekscape Network.
The language in this podcast may not be suitable for some scrubs.
Welcome to the Over Nerds. That's right, you're not tripping balls. We did change our name from the Over League to the Over Nerds. I am Toxic Fatality, and this is my co-host, Meridon.
Yo, what's up?
And we're here to talk to you today about everything. Literally everything that's happened pretty much in the last month. There was a bunch of news that dropped. I have a bajillion tabs open. I'm ready to talk about all of that crap. But first, we have some housekeeping to do. We need to talk about our name and our rebranding.
Definitely.
So, we're rebranding. which if you saw us at the Thy Geekdom Con, all of those business cards that we gave out to everyone that has our name as the Over League on the back, that's now out of date. We've changed everything to the Over Nerds. It came to me in a dream one night, and I had a very in-depth conversation with Meridon, who was very opinionated about keeping our original name in my dream. He was like, I don't think we should do that, and I like convinced him in my dream. And this was when I was staying at Meridon's house, by the way, when we were at the Geekdom Con. But anyway, came to me in a dream. I feel like M. Night Shyamalan almost. I don't know why. I feel like he gets a lot of his harebrained ideas from dreams.
And it was also very hard to win over, too. Like,
he tried to. He doesn't like change. He's kind of like an old guy that way. Meridon doesn't like change. No, actually, I'm being sarcastic. I mean, I think the biggest reason that we wanted to change, and I know Meridon released a video about it, but I think the biggest reason we wanted to change is, for me, at least, it was the Over League was too similar to the Overwatch League. It's just missing Watch in it. And I kind of wanted to stand out a little bit more. And also it allows us to do anything and everything. We're not pigeonholing ourselves only into League stuff, which has been sort of our, something we've been struggling with, I think, the past couple months, because League is over and we're like, oh, well, we don't know what to do.
It definitely opens the door when we have a lack of content to talk about, which we definitely have a lot to talk about today. Thankfully, a bunch of stuff went on BlizzCon and some branding and stuff like that. But I mean, in October, it was just like you're picking at straws.
Yeah. I mean, we had like a few cool skins to talk about, I guess, with the October Halloween event, but it was just,
Yeah. The rebranding definitely opens a lot of doors for us to
be creative.
Be creative, yeah.
Have fun with it.
Yeah, not be stale.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. So that's why we changed the name. We're gonna be, I haven't done the logo yet, but I will.
and another thing, big thing, we switched to Pinecast. What Pinecast allows us to do is it allows us to
be awesome.
I mean, other than being awesome,
right. We were already that.
It allows us to. Seriously took 5 minutes. It allows our podcast to get on Spotify, which I've been trying for 3 months. On top of the fact that I saved $15 by switching to Geico. Now,
holy shit!
by switching over from SoundCloud to Pinecast, so you will not see our podcast on SoundCloud anymore, but you can still find it on all popular podcatchers and your platform of choice. It's everywhere now.
Is podcatchers actually a term?
Yes, I learned that from the famous Courtney Dossett.
Oh, I thought you were going to say
Matthew. From the Geeks and Games podcast.
I thought you were going to say Matthew Kelly.
No,
that
no.
That went a different way.
No, when we first came out, she's like, oh, yeah, I caught you on my podcast, my podcatcher. I'm like, oh, cool, thanks.
And so like a dream catcher, but for pods?
But for pods. Not even podcasts, just pods.
Yeah.
But yeah, I actually looked it up because I was unaware of what a podcatcher was, and it's just a website that catches. I guess grabs RSS feed data and kind of compiles everything. Like there, I found our podcast on random websites that I never remember submitting anything for, and that's pretty much what it is. I think it just is a compilation or a big giant database of RSS feeds.
Well,
yeah.
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 So, when Toxic had that vivid dream of changing our brand, she was out here in beautiful Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
It was very sunny.
Land of the crappy Jersey driver and the guy that decided to throw his whole coffee outside the window.
And that chick that was at the con that just left the sink on and then walked out.
And it just walked out.
I don't even think she washed her hands. She just turned the sink on and left.
She's like buttholes.
And I was charging my phone because that was the only place in the whole fucking con that had a work. Well, it was the only place that I could find that had a working outlet.
Yeah.
And I was just standing in there charging my phone, minding my business. And she walks by me and turns on the sink. And then leaves, just leaves it running. And I'm like, what? And I saw her after the con. I never got to ask her, why did you do that? I'm not even mad. I'm just wondering why you did that. Why would anyone do that?
Why you do? That was the Geekdom Con that we attended with another famous person,
the
Matt Kelly.
Matthew Kelly.
There you go. Of
MK.
MK. Not this Mortal Kombat.
This is his rapper name.
He is the, I would say, main host of Horror Movie Night. It's him and his brother and one of their buddies. He got a booth with us, which was awesome. It was a very small con, and we were kind of going in knowing that it was going to be a really small con. It started Friday at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, which Toxic and I both agreed was kind of stupid.
Yeah, it went from 5 to 10 for vendors for the first day, and it was like, no one was there, so it was sort of like, why?
Yeah, why are we even here? What did we peace out at, like 8?
Yeah, we left, we were like, no one's here.
Yeah, and Toxic got to try her first, like, real Philly cheesesteak.
Yeah, we went to a place under a bridge, it was real ratchet.
Shady AF.
But it was pretty good, and I learned that marinara sauce is called red gravy.
Yeah,
not
that's just red. People trying to be more Italian than they actually are,
you know,
just crazy Italian Americans.
Yeah, it's funny.
Saturday was a lot better, a lot more volume. You got to see a lot of really cool cosplay. There was a cosplayer there that had a power armor with
his daughter.
As Piper,
yeah,
from Fallout 4. Amazing. Saw some the Imp Mercy skin. That was pretty cool. Saw a father and son duo. The father was Soldier 76 and his son was Genji.
And his gun, like, lit up and stuff, and his visor. It was really cool.
And it was gold, too.
We saw Mei and Black Cat D.Va, which was also cool.
They kind of had, like, I think the Mei was kind of in a dress.
Yeah, she was like a Lolita.
Yeah, like a Lolita Mei.
Yeah,
it was themed like Mei. It was pretty cool.
There was a lot of real legit costumes, though. Like, there was a steampunk Batman.
Yeah,
That
was badass.
There was also a really unique cosplay. It was the headmaster from Monsters, Inc. University. Or Monsters University? Whatever the fuck the prequel was. It was a great movie.
That was impressive.
I think it's just Monsters University. Yeah, and like her tail, so she's basically a centipede dragon, essentially, right? And so she has a tail with all these legs and stuff, and her legs are attached to wheels, so it looks like her centipede legs are all moving and stuff. So it was a real good costume, and I during the costume contest, I think she took first, a well-deserved first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a pretty awesome one.
Yeah.
That night, I actually got to meet the Dave from Maximum Mediocrity podcast and do a panel with him, along with Matt Kelly and Marissa and Amy, his two friends. That was really fun. The panel, I mean, the con was so small, the panel was really tiny. I think other than
that's what she said.
You, other than you and Dave's co-host and
Matt's friends
and Dave's girlfriend, I think there were probably like two or three people that we didn't know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, hey, I call it a success. We drew more than just friends.
A wall?
Yeah. Yeah. That was a lot of fun. We met a lot of cool people there. Sunday, I was really disappointed because our neighbor, shout out to Dynamic Beadwork, he makes the pixelated stuff out of perler beads. I will link his Twitter and his Twitch in the description. He was a really nice guy. He left us with two perler bead lanyards, one of Pixel hand soap and the other of Tobjorn. We just like went back to our booth on Sunday and they were just kind of dangled there on the table for us because he packed up and left on Saturday and didn't come back on Sunday.
Yeah.
But that was super, super nice of him. We shout out to him on Twitter. You could probably find the post on Twitter.
Yeah. Curtis, you the man if you're listening to this.
You the man.
Yeah, he's super cool.
Overall, I had a great time. It was a lot of fun meeting you in person. I've known you for what?
A couple years?
2.5 years now? Yeah, 2 years.
Actually.
Never met you in person, so that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I've met more people through like Overwatch community. In real life that I initially met in Overwatch than like any other thing, I guess.
Yeah. It brings people together.
Yeah. For me, I think the con was a bit of a mixed bag. I think, you know, the con definitely overbooked themselves. There wasn't nearly as much traffic as I think all of the vendors unanimously thought there was going to be. Which is unfortunate for us because we just really wanted to get our name out there. We did have some posters to sell, but those were kind of last minute. We weren't ever going to the convention with the mind frame of we need to, you know,
sell stuff.
But for the vendors that were there that, you know, like had really unique items and, you know, like the perler beads and our other neighbor who did like porcelain serveware with like comics on them. That was really cool. So that was a bit of a mixed bag. I wanted to meet way more people, but I'm very grateful for, you know, the people that we did meet and the relationships that we did start. So that's a really positive thing. And we also learned a ton, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, this is our first con, so we knew that there was obviously going to be, like, some sort of bumps in the road, some learning curve. Now that we've seen it once, like, we can kind of capitalize on things that we maybe missed. We got to see what other vendors were doing. I went over to Dave's booth, Maximum Mediocrity podcast, seeing what they were up to. So it was pretty awesome. Like you said, established some good relationships, met some people. There was a guy like right before you were packing up, just like the Rock from the wrestling, the guy from wrestling. And he was like, oh, so what do you guys have here? And I was pointing at Matt's end. I was like, oh, that's for Horror Movie Night podcast, goofy podcast about old horror movies. And then I was like, and we have the Overleague podcast, or the Overleague at the time. We talk about
now extinct the now Overleague, extinct,
now defunct. I was like, yeah, we talk about Overwatch and Overwatch League, and he's just like, his eyes lit up. He's like, oh, really? Yeah, I used to play Overwatch, but now I kind of stopped because I've, you know, my friends don't play it anymore. And we kind of got to know an interesting conversation with, you know, this person I've never met before, and that was actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
So overall, I don't know. Would you say it was a success? I would say it was, even though the con was tiny as hell.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. A lot of that wasn't our fault. Yeah. And I, like I said, I am definitely grateful for the people I have met and the things that I did learn. I don't, you know, definitely don't want anyone to think like, you know, the people that I did meet wasn't enough. You know, that's definitely not what I'm saying. Not at all. It wasn't what I was expecting in some ways, and it exceeded my expectations in other ways. So that's why I say it's a mixed bag.
Yeah, definitely.
But I look forward to, you know, continuing to grow, and it's going to be awesome. I'm excited for it and the future of the podcast and stuff. And, you know, we have things in the works to make it, you know, even better and stuff.
It was really nice to, during the panel that I did with Matt, Marissa, Amy, and Dave from Maximum Mediocrity was the do's and don'ts of podcasting. And I've heard some stories that I've never heard before.
But in the manual or whatever, brochure, it was the don'ts of podcasting.
A fully negative adventure.
Never podcast ever.
Never podcast. Only losers podcast.
That's why we never leave our houses.
Exactly. But it was very interesting. I heard some stories from the whole panel that kind of give some insight on how they do things that I've never heard before. So that was a fun learning experience. So
let's talk about Overwatch. Con,
yeah, it was kind of poorly timed because BlizzCon was going on, and I'm going to touch on the competitive Overwatch portion of BlizzCon, and then we're going to go into some other BlizzCon stuff later in Overthoughts. Mm-hmm. But the World Cup happened.
Mm-hmm.
All of the matches, and I'm just gonna touch on them, like touch on just the scores real quick. I don't want to go too in depth. Like I watched, I didn't watch much of them because we were at the con. That probably doesn't give me an excuse for why.
No excuse, motherfucker.
Watch the rest of them. But they were all blowouts. China beat Finland the first round. China beat Finland 3-0. Canada beat France 3-0, which surprised the living hell out of me. South Korea beat Australia 3-0. There's a shocker. And the UK beat the US, which also surprised the hell out of me, 3-1. So, like, all of the first day were blowouts. So, round two was South Korea beating UK 2-0. They had a tie on one of the maps, a draw on one of the maps. And then China beat Canada 3-0.
Yeah, and there was, if you recall, when we were manning the booths at GeekonCon, I don't know why I said booths. It was one booth singular, but a guy came by and he was like, "It's a surprise who made the finals." And I was like, "Oh, did South Korea not make it?" He's like, "Do you want me to tell you?" And I'm like, "Nah."
Nah.
But now I know what he was referring to. Canada, or not Canada, China going into the finals. It's like, where was this in Overwatch League, guys?
Yeah. I guess the Dragons just drafted the wrong people. Yeah. I mean, the Chinese team, like, to be completely honest, sorry, China fans, they really weren't that good because they just got their shit pushed in against South Korea for the final. South Korea won. There's a surprise. South Korea won 4-0. Like, they dominated the entire match. I did watch that one. I wanted to watch South Korea win.
Oh, also, it was really funny because I have to throw Maradon under the bus again because it's fun. when we came back, we started watching World Cup stuff, and you just passed the fuck out.
Just passed
out. And you just started snoring like an old man, and you're like... I was just like, all right.
I like woke up, it was like 4 o'clock in the morning, like, where the hell am I at? Like, oh shit, just so, passed out.
That confusion you get when you like... you go to sleep and then you forget where you were at entirely.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It must have been a deep sleep. I didn't even remember being tired. I just like woke up and it was 4 o'clock in the morning. I just like look around. Overwatch League is still playing on the Overwatch World Cup is still playing on the TV. I'm just like, the hell's going on? But yeah, South Korea won gold. Canada beat the UK 3-2 to take the bronze. So it was Korea gold, China silver, Canada bronze. I did not get to see the World Cup viewer though.
Oh yeah, okay.
Neither of us did.
So actually, I think we can still technically. Yeah, it's still on here. Okay. Oh, I have to install it. But what's really cool about the World Cup viewer, and they're probably testing this out, honestly, for Overwatch League. But the World Cup viewer is essentially its own client, and all of the matches are going to be available up to 1 month after they aired. So you can actually go in and explore it, which I might do in a bit. But the World Cup viewer, it's sort of from what I can tell, it's sort of like, I think you can follow a single player if you really wanted to. You can go into their first person on a certain player and watch from their perspective. So if you're really interested in how a certain DPS works or a certain tank works, you can watch it sort of like the spectator mode. It is a beta. It's still in its beta. But it does have the promise of being a permanent feature in the future. So this was sort of a test run to see how it was working with the World Cup. A lot of other esports, professional esports, have observer tools like this. I think League might have it, or Dota. I don't follow those, but one of those guys has them, I'm sure. But yeah, if you have a favorite player, you can just stick with them for the entire match and you can watch. There's a map overlay using the overhead view with hero icons. That's something that we've seen in Overwatch League, you know, matches and that sort of thing. But it's at your own computer. So
I would be surprised if they didn't try to introduce that in Overwatch League.
Yeah.
And speaking of Overwatch League, we got some branding since we last talked. Finally, blah, blah, blah. I can't even talk. I'm so excited. So Murph. The first one that we were introduced to was the Atlanta Reign.
Yes.
I love the branding. It's like a crimson, red, and white. And then there's also, I think it's like crimson and black and gray for their home jersey. And their logo looks like a phoenix. I dig it. I like it a lot. What did you think about
it? I think a lot of the branding that they used has a lot to do with Atlanta's history as, you know, a city. They feature a red phoenix rising within a royal crest, which references Atlanta's city seal. And it's, you know, I mean, a phoenix is, you know, you die, you rise again, new beginnings, all of that cliche shit. So it's, yeah, it's, I like it. It's a really good logo. It's, it's like you said, it's a crimson, so it's kind of a deeper, maybe a little bit more brownish red. I don't know if that's
almost
quite
like a maroon or burgundy.
Yeah, or like a wine color. Yeah.
It's definitely unique. It's not just like a typical red that you see every day.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, and it has the crown as well. So yeah, it's really it's cool.
They're going to be one of the teams I cheer for
because you're owned by them.
Yeah, we pretty our parent company owns them, which is awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. I also wrote a little article on Geekscape about their roster announcement because it's laced with tons of controversy. So I was
laced.
So I was like, this would probably be a good opportunity to write an article, an opinion piece about their roster announcement.
Did we want to talk about that or go on with the rest of the...
We'll go on with the rest. Okay. What we're going to do in a later episode, we'll break down the signings of all the teams, like, going forward. December 1st is the cutoff where the teams must have a maximum of 8 players under the contract.
They're so, like, no more Florida mayhem. Obviously, yeah. That was a bad idea, only signing 6 players.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll be going over some of these rosters when... Again, in a later episode, probably maybe in the next episode. It depends on how the teams are looking roster wise. I want to make sure that everyone has their roster together so it could just kind of be like one compact, like, hey, these are the rosters, these are the people, and have some discussion about the people.
Yeah.
They're signed. Sure. So the second team that was announced was the Toronto Defiant. I like their logo is pretty cool with the D and the T. I feel like the colors are almost the same as the Atlanta Reign. Their red is a little bit brighter.
Yeah, but it's red and black and gray is essentially. Mm-hmm. So we have a little bit more red coming into the league. I think it was just the Shanghai Dragons and Mayhem, right? That was really the only reds that we had. But like Mayhem was like ketchup red.
Yeah,
McDonald's. Yeah.
McDonald's.
Red and yellow.
There were a lot of people complaining about the branding when Toronto came out. I saw a lot of people on Reddit and on Discord, like Discord chat, about how they feel like the branding for Toronto was a little lazy because of what Atlanta just came out with. I was like, okay, like they are pretty similar, but I'm not mad about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's all right. It's not super thrilling, but... Mm-hmm. It looks e-sporty to me, so it's fine.
Yeah. All right. How about them Paris cocks? Paris Eternal.
Well, I guess the French like cock.
Yeah. I really couldn't stand when they're just like, hey, check out our branding on Twitter. And it was like this dark navy blue picture with this dark red rooster, and it's like I can barely see the icon. their social media person or whoever decided to tell them to release that picture was not ideal, in my opinion. I couldn't see shit, and the picture looks super compressed. I'm like, what are you guys doing? This is your announcement. You gotta make it pop.
Twitter's sort of a shithead when it comes to image compression, though.
Okay, so yeah. It might have been Twitter that kind of effed it all up.
Yeah, there's only so much you can do for Twitter, and just, I don't know, looks like garbage in general, but... So, they released this really super cool video that had, like, really uplifting, inspirational music that was like... like, stuff like... it sort of reminded me of the Transformers music.
Yeah,
a little bit like the first movie, not the other ones that I haven't seen. But and then like at the very end, it's like we're the Paris Eternal, and then like that's my French accent, by the way. And then it was it kind of like spiraled out, and I thought it was going to spiral and like sort of turn into like the infinity symbol, the like sideways 8, you know.
Yeah,
but then it like it curved back up and became a chicken head, and I was like, oh
yeah,
can I take this seriously still?
Someone will have to confirm this. I feel like a rooster is like their...
No, I'm gonna confirm it for you right now.
Okay, because they have it on the... if you like look at their World Cup jerseys, it'll... Yeah. they have the rooster on there, so I feel like the rooster is like their national...
So it's called symbol. Reading that right? The Gallic rooster is the national emblem of France.
Okay.
And it's called the Coq Gaulois. I'm sorry. I don't know it. But it's a symbol of French people because it's a play on words of the Latin Gallus, meaning Gaul.
Interesting.
And Gallus, meaning coq or rooster. Or cock. So it's a big thing. It's I don't want to like shit on it because you know, it's, it represents their country, and that's cool.
Super passionate fan base. Yeah. We learned in the World Cup, like, holy crap, yeah. They were insane the whole time.
But I see what they're trying to do with, it's a, you know, one of the design principles, it's called, what the fuck is it called? I want to say Freudian, but that's wrong. That's psychology. There's a design, a Gestalt principle. There we go. For design, where there's like essentially like an implied shape, and that's what they're doing with the rooster. So it's pretty. Okay. I see what they're doing. I just wasn't expecting a rooster and stuff, but. Yeah. It'll grow. I'm sure it'll grow on me eventually. But again, it's more red. We have a lot more red.
Yeah, more red. I think their jerseys, I believe, are very reflective of their flag, if I'm not mistaken.
Like, yeah, flag is red, France. White, and blue.
Yeah. I wasn't really surprised with the rooster just because of just like watching World Cup soccer and anything really international. It seems like they always have the rooster on there.
Yeah, I was gonna say I thought it was gonna be like a wolf or something because they're like answer the call, like mm-hmm. hashtag answer the call or something, and I was like, oh, what calls? And I was like, well, maybe it's a wolf or a cell phone. I don't know, not a cell phone. But yeah, it's a rooster, which also calls.
yeah, definitely. Okay, so the next one, and by far my favorite so far in the branding category and the way their skins look, is the Guangzhou Charge. I love it. They have like a teal and black or gray, or it looks amazing.
Yeah, they definitely have a different... I feel like esports is really good for like red and black and sort of bold colors like that. Mm-hmm. But they went with like this kind of teal, I wouldn't say like a turquoisey, but kind of like a soft blue.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they basically have like three different blues actually. Go, never mind. I'm a dumb dumb. No, they have three different blues. Cause they have like the bright teal accent, and then they have like a soft blue and then a dark blue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's pretty eye catching. And then if you noticed on their logo, the GZ, yeah,
the bolt.
Yeah. In the negative space, there's a lightning bolt.
I love when people mess with, negative space.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where it's just very satisfying to look at.
Yeah. It's, yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I definitely dig it. I'd like to see what their Overwatch League jerseys look like.
Well, they have some with Moira. They showed it with Moira and Hanzo.
Yeah, those. I meant the like what the actual players will be wearing on stage.
Oh. Yeah. I forget about the players. They're not important.
Cool. Yeah. The last one that was announced was the Chengdu Hunters. I love the pissed off panda look, and I also saw some jerseys, like player jersey, not player jersey, like the skins. But when I looked on the website for the Chengdu Hunters, it didn't look like they really ever tweeted anything. It was really weird. Like they did make an announcement for some reason. When I was checking Twitter, like I didn't see the announcement or anything. So it might be like bugging for me, but I felt like I also saw somebody share a picture of skins that are yellow and they look awesome. They're like a, they're not like a McDonald's yellow, like the Mayhem.
They're more of a, like I would say like a mustard or
mm-hmm.
See, I hesitate to say gold, but I guess gold is what they're going for. Cause you can't really get a gold, you can't get a metallic look on screen. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Unless you have like a photo, but yeah, it's sort of like a mustard color, and I guess their secondary colors are black and gray.
Yeah, I think it looks pretty cool. I really like the panda too. The panda looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it's more negative space. It kind of reminds me of the logo for. Oh shit! It's another panda logo. for like the World Animal Conservation logo. I don't know, but it's
not a World Wildlife Federation.
Yeah, that one. Okay. And it's definitely not that angry of a panda, but it does use the like negative space to kind of show the face of the panda. So we're in negative space for you kids.
The name of the game is negative space.
Mm-hmm.
So one other thing I wanted to touch on, some Overwatch League news, was Dufran. He put out a tweet that he was basically saying...
Hold on. Dufran is assigned to who?
So Dufran is part of the Atlanta Reign. He played for Selfless Gaming for a little while, and he was actually banned because he was throwing games, because he was throwing a fit.
Mm-hmm.
So the other day, he on November 7th, he tweeted, "The end. I hate this game. Thought I could love it again and have passion, but it's impossible. I always end up soft throwing. Contract ended. Overwatch uninstalled. McDonald's, here I come." He was an ex-McDonald's employee. "For real, though, thanks. Thank you for everything you've given me, Overwatch community." So he stated that. And then the next day, he pretty much redacted it. And stated, "Still with the Atlanta Reign. Didn't quit like I said. I messed up. Don't know what to say except sorry to the community, my fans in Atlanta. It wasn't.
Jabate.
Sometimes I have these days and make dumb mistakes. Going forward, I'm going to stream less and focus on making myself and my team better."
I think he needs to focus on some other things, too.
Yeah, this guy... the thing that really sucks is Dufran is a ridiculously good talent. Like, his tracking's amazing. He's always been a really, really, really good DPS player. But he has, like, the same thing going on with XQC. He just kind of becomes unhinged sometimes and just acts like a child.
And this is our very first case of bad Overwatch advice.
Yeah.
Sign up for a professional team as a professional esports player and then quit the next day.
Just quit. Just throw it in.
Just throw fit about it.
Yeah. I mean, that doesn't really surprise me. I did outline some of the controversy that was behind him, including the throwing in the article that I wrote on geekscape.net. I'll put a link to that in the description of the podcast as well. Yeah. So, I mean, this kind of comes with... this is the baggage that Dufran comes along with. So, I really do hope that he...
chills out?
Yeah, addresses...
matures?
Matures or addresses, like, if he's struggling with mental health issues, like, I hope that he, like, you know, addresses them and stuff so he can start, like, functioning in the Overwatch community. Because he's got, like, two kinds of people that like him. And it's almost, it reminds me of the XQC kind of thing. It's like, you have the people that like him because he trolls. And then you have the people that don't like him because he trolls. But you have the people that like him because he's...
good. What he does.
He's really good, yeah. And it's a shame to see talent like that go to waste. It pisses me off with XQC because I don't care for XQC as a person, but, like, oh my god, he's good. Like, and there are a lot of people that like XQC, but mainly because he always causes a scene. If you watch his streams, you'll know. But hey, I don't know. I just really hate watching good, like, raw talent go to waste. And especially on somebody that just needs to address whatever demons they're dealing with.
Yeah, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard.
Yep. So what do we have in... we have a lot in the world of overthoughts.
Yeah, we have some overthoughts to get caught up on.
Oh, yeah.
Although I don't know if Ash technically belongs in overthoughts. So... Ash was announced at BlizzCon. And she's welcome to Sniper Watch, folks. No. She is a long range hit scan, or I would say medium range hit scan DPS. She does have damage fall off. They released a short with her called Reunion, which is basically, and we saw some signs of Hero 29. She's Hero number 29. Prior to BlizzCon, we've seen this before where Blizzard will change a map in the PTR They won't put it in the PTR notes, but they'll change the map. They'll change the appearance. This happened with Doomfist on the payload map. The hybrid map, Numbani, where, you know, on the payload, the Doom Gauntlet has gone missing and that sort of thing. So everyone's like, oh, Doomfist is coming. So for this, it wasn't quite a, we knew exactly who was coming. Blizzard tends to have a pattern to release a highly anticipated character and then blindside us with a non-anticipated character. But we saw on the payload changing on the Route 66 map. So everyone was starting to get hype about, oh, here comes Hero 29, and here she came. This is Ashe. She is a DPS beast. I don't know if I should start with the short or or the character herself. But she is very interesting. I'll start with a short. So essentially the short, if you haven't watched it, you should probably go watch it. It's called Reunion. It takes place on Route 66. And essentially it's the train heist. So the train tracks and the train cars that have been demolished in Route 66 since the beginning of the game. This is the story behind that. McCree used to be part of the Deadlock gang, and Ashe was in charge of that, or is in charge of that gang. And it looks like they were after the same payload, or pay... Yeah, we'll just say payoff. I don't know, whatever. They both wanted what was on the train, okay? Words. And so we got introduced to a couple of new characters. We got introduced to, well, I guess technically three new characters. Ashe, her right-hand man, Bob. I don't want to quite say sidekick because he's really fucking awesome. And then Echo. I thought it was going to be, what's her name? Athena. Yeah. Okay. I thought it was going to be Athena. In robot form, but it was Echo. So there's essentially, you know, they kind of fight over, you know, this, what would you call it, Meridon? It's like a case?
Yeah, it almost, a lot of people were actually speculating it was a mecha unit. It kind of looked like one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, it's... whatever the payload always was in Route 66, that's what it kind of looks like it is, but it looks like there's like a portion of it that was pulled back to kind of expose what was inside of it, and it was almost like a capsule, I guess.
Yeah, the capsule.
It's hard to explain.
And then as soon as it opened and there was like all of the mist and stuff, I was like, oh, there's a person in there. I've seen Firefly and Serenity. I was like, oh, there's a person. And I was sort of right. It's a robot named Echo. And McCree's like, we're getting the gang back together, and then, but they need you more than me. I don't know. It's really cool. I really, after watching Reunion, I really want them to make a movie. And actually, Blizzard has sort of teased that the IP for Overwatch can have a broad expanse of possibilities and applications for future titles. So I really, and I think I've said this multiple times, I think Blizzard animators are probably second only to like Disney Pixar. So I really hope they expand and make more shorts and maybe a movie. So
I loved the diner scene in the beginning.
So do you, there's character interactions. So if you play McCree when you're on attack on Route 66, he'll say something like, never cared for the coffee, always did taste like dirt, or something like that.
Yeah.
And then you just see him drinking the coffee. It's like, okay.
He's just like, well, this is all I have. It was really cool to see a place that you're so familiar with in one of the animated shorts. It's just because like you're so used to just being in the diner like before a match and not seeing it like full like HD, like it's beautiful quality. You're not used to seeing it like that up close and personal. You're just kind of used to just wrecking it before you guys start the match. So it was pretty cool to see that environment in a different way.
I should say that Ash herself is voiced by Jennifer Hale.
Just taking out the trash.
Who has, I believe she has, a Guinness World Record for being the most... Yeah, Guinness World Records holder, the most prolific video game voice actress. She's been in, like, fucking everything. Yeah, Baldur's Gate, Mass Effect, Metroid Prime, Metal Gear Solid, Spider-Man, Bioshock, Infinite, Star Wars, Knights of the Old Republic. She has a beautiful Southern Belle voice. She's super prolific. And apparently she has a podcast that I'd probably like to listen to at some point, because, you know, I'm never caught up on my podcast, might as well add another one. But yeah, she's really interesting and really prolific voice actress. So Ash, let's talk about Ash as a character. I'll let the listeners, I guess, you know, look more into her backstory. She, like I said, she basically founded the Deadlock Gang. From what I saw, it looked like she was probably part of a really well-off family, but, you know, she wanted to get, I don't know, rebelled against that, I guess. She's an interesting character. But mechanically, she's going to be a DPS beast. She has two guns that she can use to damage you. She has a stick of of dynamite that she can use to damage you. And then her ultimate, this is the first time that they're introducing this mechanic. Her ultimate is Bob, which you see in the short. He, like, picks up the Route 66 sign to smack McCree with, or presumably.
Big beastie. Yeah. Omnic.
Yeah, he's big guy. But essentially, what he does is you aim him, and then you press Q, and he runs until he hits something. If he impacts any characters, they fly up stunned in the air, and then he'll stop after a short delay, turn around, and act as a turret. He has a ton of health. He does a lot of damage if you don't focus him down. But yeah, he works as line of sight, like a Torbjorn turret, essentially. And also, if you wave at him, he waves back.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
So he's really cool. She has a sawed off shotgun as her left shift. It does knockback, so you can sort of rocket jump around. It'll also knock back any enemies that it hits. And we actually tested this in the PTR. If you're doing it at a Genji, it takes the knockback that the Genji would take, but if he's reflecting, it stacks onto your knockback, so it's a double knockback for you. So you go, like, twice as far as you normally would. So she's super mobile. Her gun reminds me a lot of Anna's gun. You can shoot it from the hip. It fires a bit faster, and it only... I think it does 40 damage, but scoped in, it does a ton of damage. You can one-shot a tracer with it if you get a headshot. And it does feel a lot like Anna's gun's scoped. And then her dynamite, after she throws it, and after a short delay, it will ignite and cause fire damage over time. You can also shoot it in the air or shoot it on the ground to ignite it sooner. So she's a really high skill ceiling DPS. She's a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to her. So, am I missing anything? Am I missing any of her cooldowns?
I heard that if you shoot the dynamite, it's actually a larger blast radius.
Which makes, it makes sense, because everything is, if you think about it, like, think about May's blizzard, or even Winston's bubble, they're spheres, right? So if you do it in the air, it's a sphere, not, and if you do it on the ground, it's only a hemisphere. Mm-hmm. So, that makes sense.
Yeah. She's fun. I went in and tried her. I'm terrible at hit scan, so I was pretty dreadful on her, but she was pretty cool to play. She felt really good.
Yeah. She does a ton of damage, which leads me to believe that we're probably gonna get another healer, because if you put a Mercy with her and just damage boost her, she can pretty much one-shot almost anything with a charge shot. Or even a Zenyatta that's got his Discord Orb on someone, like, you can just wreck people with... She does so much damage. I would assume that if they don't nerf her on the PTR, that they will eventually nerf her on the servers, on the live servers.
Oh yeah, I've been watching some videos of her in the hands of some pros, like Sherfor in effect, and they just tear people apart.
Yeah. Oh, one thing that I wanted to say, there's some new interactions between McCree and Ashe, where in game, basically they're just talking to each other, but McCree tells Ashe that she's always been the ambitious one, and her response says, "You make that sound like a bad thing. You'd still be on a farm if it weren't for me." So it sounds like maybe it gives a little bit of insight into McCree's background. I love these interactions.
the interactions are always
there's good. so much detail to this game that you can just miss.
Yeah.
And you do, at the end of the short, McCree steals her motorcycle, and there's a picture of Ashe and McCree. They look like they're playing poker in a bar or a saloon or something like taped to her speedometer. Mm-hmm. So, but that's Ashe.
She's gonna be awesome.
There's several other things I want to talk about. involving some nerfs and buffs. Mercy, Roadhog, and Symmetra are gonna be buffed yes. Is what I meant to say. Roadhog's buffs are the heaviest, with changes incoming to his chain hook, scrap gun, and whole hog. His chain hook pull delay's been reduced from 0.5 to 0.3 seconds, and the momentum of the targets are going to be greatly reduced as well. So they'll stop fucking moving as soon as the hook lands, so that, you know, if the Luciodes tends to glide beyond, you know, a corner, that's not going to break. For the scrap gun, the spread pattern has been adjusted for primary and secondary fire. Randomization is reduced by 50%, and the knockback for whole hog has a maximum velocity increase by 25%, and the horizontal recoil has been decreased slightly. Mercy, for her, the buff is coming to her ultimate Valkyrie. Ultimate cost has been reduced by 15%, and her healing per second has increased from 50 to 60, which, thank God, because it felt like she didn't do fucking anything when she was ulting, and she's like, oh, the chain healing is nice, but I can't keep fucking anyone alive.
Her pick rate, like, plummeted
with their
last nerf that they performed on Mercy.
I'm assuming the next hero we're gonna get is gonna be probably another healer. I hope it's going to be another healer. there's so many DPS and not that many comparatively not that many healers or tanks. And then Symmetra, it's with her photon projector. It's primary. The primary fire beam charges up 20% faster.
That's gonna suck.
I mean,
I always hated going up against Symmetra's.
Yeah.
It's going to suck for the people playing against Symmetra. Maybe, I don't know, we'll see. It sounds like it's going to blow, though.
Reaper's Hellfire Shotguns have also been buffed a little bit. The randomization has been reduced by 50%. And his lifesteal ability increased from 20 to 30%. So, overall, these shotgun characters are going to feel a little bit more consistent.
Yeah.
Bastion and McCree are also getting buffed. The clip size for Bastion's mobile form, his recon configuration, the clip size was increased from 25 to 35. And he also has a reverse spread effect in his sentry minigun mode. So essentially, the longer he holds down the left click, the more accurate it becomes.
Did they implement that yet? In PTR?
I don't know.
I haven't been on the check, and I heard that it was not released at first, but it was it was stated that was going to happen, but it wasn't implemented because they were still playtesting it internally.
I don't think it's happened quite yet, but it's going to be probably on the next PTR update.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting. I did hear about that reverse spread.
Yeah. And then McCree's damage is going to get buffed. His fan, the hammer damage was increased by 10.
Okay. Hopefully we don't have a McCree that walks around
fans.
When Overwatch first came out, McCree was just OP as hell.
Mm-hmm. Doomfist is getting nerfed, which will make everyone who plays on a black line really happy. His Seismic Slam range has been reduced from 20 to 15 meters, which also decreases the damage from 85 to 65. His rising uppercut, it's kind of like a micro stun, so your character will only lose control and be unable to move for 0.6 seconds, which is essentially the part where you're knocked into the air. The micro stun is a bitch. And then there's also changes with the rocket punch, but it's still being tested out internally. So there's going to be nerfs for him. Sorry, Doomfist players, not sorry.
I think they were saying that you gain control your character once you get uppercutted.
Fucking finally.
When you're falling down, yeah. So on the way up, you get a little stunned.
Yeah.
But then on the way down, you actually...
Can shoot him in the fucking head! All right, sorry.
Yeah, I really hate Doomfist. He's becoming the new hand soap for me just because it's whenever I'm hey, you know what? I'm going to play Ana.
Or Zenyatta.
And the entire freaking game is the stupid Doomfist doing his job, but it's just frustrating as hell.
Yeah, it's not fun.
Especially when your team doesn't know how to deal with it.
Yeah, it's not fun when it's happening to you, but I'm sure it's real fun for that Doomfist.
Oh, yeah. And that character looks like he's fun to play. I've just never been able to sit down and actually learn him.
Yeah, he's...
I can't DPS for shit.
He's a high skill ceiling. Do you want to talk about the next Overwatch patch?
Yeah, so apparently the next Overwatch patch, it was announced on the Blizzard forums that... every player, including console players, which was confirmed, I think, a day later, will have to reinstall the game because
the entire game.
They have, I think, some optimization. They optimize it a little bit better, apparently.
Yep, performance and optimization.
I think there's some other stuff in the back end that they said that they were working on that they wouldn't be able to push it out as just a small patch.
Yeah.
Which kind of sucks, but I mean, I don't know. It doesn't really affect, they're saying it would affect a lot of people if they have, throttled internet. I don't have throttled internet, so it won't be a problem. Just one day when I get home from work, I'll just throw it on and update it. But it still kind of sucks.
Yeah, the official statement reads, "The number of back-end changes we're putting in is substantial enough that we can't just patch over the current content efficiently. Mm-hmm. As a result, when the next patch comes out, the client will fully reinstall itself to handle these changes. We know that isn't ideal for people on metered connections, so hopefully this announcement helps you prepare for this coming update." I'm fine with it. If it makes the game run better, I'm okay. I can wait.
It's not, I don't know how big the game file is. I feel like it's not only as big as Red Dead. It's, yeah.
150
I don't think
gigs.
It's that big of a game. So I think for the most part, it won't affect very many people. It's more of just kind of like a very small inconvenience to people that are probably playing it during the day where the patch is going to come out. But people like myself that are always busy doing everything other than playing Overwatch, it's like, all right, I'll come up here real quick, throw the download on, and just do what I have to do.
I got two more overthoughts. One is pretty short. Blizzard released an entire album of Lucio's music called Synesthesia Auditiva. I have such a hard time saying this. Auditiva. Which is awesome. It also, it was really funny because when I landed in Pennsylvania off my flight, I turned on my phone and another Lucio thing was released. This has been teased for a while, but officially Lucio has his own brand of cereal, Lucio O's.
Have some Lucio O's!
Is it out in stores yet?
I don't know.
I have to check. I told Steph that we have to go to the grocery store tomorrow.
I don't.
So I'm going to check tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't go grocery shopping anymore. I do it all online and then go pick it up.
Yeah.
So I'll have to someday just actually enter a grocery store. Mm-hmm. I'll burst into flame as I cross the threshold.
Everyone will be like, what the hell is
Yeah. No. So yeah, some cool Lucio music. You can eat your Lucio O's while listening to Lucio music. I gotta get that, though, because it sounds sort of EDM-y, and I love EDM.
Yeah.
And then the last thing I wanted to say. So, we knew that we were gonna get Overwatch Legos, but Target leaked the information by putting it on their website early, which is kind of funny. But we're getting Hanamura, Watchpoint Gibraltar, Dorado, we're getting, a Reinhardt, a D.Va, Bastion was also released, but I think they're gonna be making, a bigger Bastion set. So there's a ton of Overwatch Legos I'm super excited for. I never played Legos as a kid, but I kind of probably am going to play with them as an adult, so.
I just hope they're affordable.
No.
Like you were saying before.
They're not going to be.
Yeah, Legos are at a point now, it's just oh, wow, that Death Star Lego set looks pretty awesome. Let me see how much it is.
$500.
Yeah. I'm just get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
And they're awesome, but I don't know. I hope they're affordable.
I don't know if you saw, but at BlizzCon, they commissioned people to build a giant D.Va mech out of Legos. Yeah. And it was huge, right? It was probably 6 feet, 5 to 6 feet tall. It was gigantic.
Gigantic.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's probably one of those, the Lego master builders or whatever they call them.
It was a whole team of people working on it and using dollies and lifts.
Yeah. I think they build it in pieces.
Yeah, they do.
And then they just attach the pieces. Yeah. It's pretty impressive. I liked the D.Va herself. It looked pretty cool. They kind of made her look like a little Lego guy.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to mention, so Blizzard commissioned Henchman Studios to cosplay Ash at BlizzCon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so the model was the red shirt girl. Her Twitter handle is @theredshirtgirl. And she, I think Henchman Studios probably made, all of the costume components and then, the red shirt girl modeled it, but it's definitely a gorgeous cosplay.
It looked great.
Yeah. Check out @henchmanprops, Henchman Studios on Facebook, and also check out @theredshirtgirl. The red shirt girl, is that a Star Trek reference? I think it might be a Star Trek
not
reference.
Not sure. Not into Star Trek. I don't hate it. I'm just not into it.
I love Star Trek.
Yeah. All right. that's gonna do it for our first cast as the Overnerds.
The Overnerds.
So, where can we find you, though, before we go over the new Overnerds social media? Where can we find you?
Yeah, you can find me
on the interwebs.
In the internets. You can find me at the Toxic Fatality. Wait, that's not what it is.
The Toxic
at a Toxic Fatality on Twitter. You can catch me streaming occasionally at twitch.tv/ToxicFatality. And atoxicfatality@gmail.com.
Sweet. You can find me at TheMagaming on Twitter and twitch.tv/MidAtlanticGaming on Twitch, which I make the excuse every other cast. I need to get back to streaming.
We never will.
With all the damn schoolwork and
just kidding,
accelerated
we will.
Classes, it's, yeah. It's just not in the cards right now, unfortunately.
Same for me. We're both in school.
Yeah, the grind is real. So, our new social media handles on Facebook, we are facebook.com/TheOverNerds. We're at TheOverNerds on Twitter, The_OverNerds on Instagram. By the way, check the Instagram out because there's actual content on there now. It's great.
Yeah, you can see the awesome free collectible cards that I made for the Thy Geekdom Con.
I have the bowl of collectible cards sitting right next to me. Mm-hmm. Also, shout out Geekscape.net. You can find our podcast on the Geekscape.net. Check out Geekscape. It is a collection of nerd-related podcasts and blogs. It's pretty awesome. That was Matt Kelly that we were with from the Horror Movie Night podcast, our booth mate, the world-famous Matthew Kelly. Boothman.
Yeah, we decided it was a Boothman.
A Boothman.
Scientifically speaking.
He has the Horror Movie Night podcast, which is also on the Geekscape Network, which is awesome. Max Brown is the creator of our awesome intro, as usual. Check him out on SoundCloud. We will have the link to his SoundCloud in the description. Again, another shout-out to Dynamic Beadwork. Curtis, thank you for the awesome Perler lanyards. They're amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, Toxic got the Tobion one. I got the hand soap one. I love it.
Domo arigato gozaimashita.
There you go. What she said. All right. That's going to do it for the podcast. Episode 25. There we go. All right. Have a good one.
See ya.
The smell of the video store. I love this place.
Do you remember when you could just look at the walls of covers?
We had to choose just by looking at the cover and reading the crappy synopsis.
You were leaving with one.
And the only way to know what new movies were coming out is you actually had to watch the trailers instead of skipping them.
Right, we didn't have the internet to look it up. We had one guy named Todd behind the counter that would tell us what was good or not.
And Todd strangely liked way too many romantic comedies.
Yes, but you always knew when the boobies were coming because Todd made sure.
Oh, and remember all the awful CG we had to put up with in the mid-90s?
We talk about that a lot, don't we?
Join us on Analog Jones and the Temple of Film, where we talk about VHS tapes.
And we wax nostalgia like none other.